a bushy white mustache and a German accent. Hey, why aren't you sketching any of this?
Right.
Young people...
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
This is Josh from the Illiches. Happy 30th birthday, WHFR.
The following program is pre-recorded. It does not reflect the views of Henry Ford College, WHFR radio station, staff, or members. Hello, this is Betty Daniels from Impact, and we have Samuel Spruill, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and give you his complete title. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Daniels. My name is Samuel Spruill. I'm the president and CEO of Helping Operations for People Empowerment, known as HOPE. We call it HOPE since the name is so long.
Okay. Now,
I do three things: to do prison management, working with men and women who have been incarcerated and returning back to our community. Then we have a health and human concern piece, HOPE, as well. So we address three areas. We address the returning citizens, the prison piece, and we would address the health and human concerns of the community. And HOPE is designed to help the people in the community make transition from incarceration back into community. And also, on the health piece, we want to induce people to healthy living. That's why we have a garden here at 6125 Beachwood. And also have a clothing closet on the human side to help people for address success and people that's homeless and need clothes and so forth. And so those three areas is what we cover and on the HOPE.
Okay. Now, I originally asked you about the history of how you guys started and how you got involved in this particular endeavor.
Well, when HOPE was designed, the Reverend Jerry Jackson, she was a member of Tabernacle, and she left and moved to Texas, got relocated because of her job. And at that time, I was serving as vice president, so when she left, I became the president of HOPE. And so we started there. That's how it all got started. And then we went from there. We got our 501(c) approved by the IRS. And so we started growing from that point on. And we're 6 years old, a new organization, but we have done a lot in a six-year period.
All right. Now, contrast year one. What were some of the things that you went through in year one of HOPE?
Year one, we spent a lot of time on trying to build relationships with different agencies in the program, letting them know the service that we was trying to provide. And number one, the first year was mainly about building a relationship with agencies in the community, letting them know that we exist, that we're there. And we built the first couple of years, it was like relationship building and collaboration, working with other agencies, sharing and resources, trying to get things in the community. So it was a building process, getting our name out there, letting them know that we were serious about what we was doing at the same time. We wanted to have a relationship with other agencies in the community. So trying, when you're a brand new organization, funding is always a struggle because people don't know you. They don't know, you know, you're a new kid on the block, and they don't know what you're capable of doing. So when you apply for funding, you're going against other organizations who have had a long history and track record. And funding was definitely a challenge for us. So how we faced that challenge with that, we used a model from Captain Soup Kitchen. My brother Ray was so kind to share with me a model. That's how our bakery came into existence. And so we thought, well, if we can build our bakery, that will create a job. B, that will create revenue for us to put back into our nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so the HOPE Bakery was designed to be a for-profit for our nonprofit. So that was one of our ways that we started off trying to be creative in generating revenue.
Okay.
To keep the nonprofit going.
Okay, now you said, now when you first started out, about how many people were you working with at that time?
At that time, we first started, I had approximately 20 people at that time.
All right.
20, mainly all males at the time, because at the time I didn't have any females to work with me. So our philosophy that we're going to mentor us, going to mentor males, and vice versa, women mentor females. We didn't want to cross train at that time.
All right, okay. Now, were the people that you were trying to help, were they readily accepting or open to what you were doing?
Happened was, that's all got started. We were working with so much returning citizens. Before Mount Prison closed, I was the volunteer chaplain there, under Chaplain White. Mm-hmm. And so I had met a lot of men in prison, mm-hmm. At Mound Prison. Mm-hmm. And so they had heard about some of the service that Hope had to offer to returning citizens. Mm-hmm. And that's how we were able to tap into a lot of men. When they got released, they would contact Hope, and then we were able to provide them the service that they needed.
All right. Then after you got your grant and started working with the men, what was the next milestone in your program?
Our next milestone, then we got into that job readiness. That's what we're doing now.
Okay.
It's trying to find employers who would hire someone who had a felony, and mm-hmm. that became a challenge. You know, a little bit open, more people, more employees are receptive now to hiring returning citizens. But it was a big challenge at first because, you know, the guy come home, you know, he's doing the right thing. He's not doing any drugs anymore. You know, he's trying to do, and there was no job. So that began to be a challenge for us. But now a lot of employees have opened up and said, well, we'll give them a chance, you know. And so, again, it goes back to trying to have that relationship and build that relationship with business in the community that will give a person an opportunity to work.
It sounds like that was a twofold process, you know, building a relationship with the person that's just recently out because they have to, didn't they have to go through an acclimation process of trying, you know, a whole living or way of viewing life, I guess.
You're exactly right. Yes. So you had a relationship not only with employees, also with the person that's returned home too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, what we do, we have, I tapped into a lot of churches, contacting churches and say, listen, we're going to have mentor training. We want the churches, because we're faith-based, and we want the churches and the community to be involved. So we contact churches, hey, you know, we're trying to, we have mentor training, so we want people from your church, because once they return back home, they're going to be attending your churches. So we want people from your church to come and be part of our mentor training program, so we will have people in place that we can match with an individual when they come home from prison. But we want them from different churches because, you know, it's different parts of the community that they would end up returning back to. And so we tapped into the churches, and the church was very responsive. They sent people for us to train to become mentors for the ones that return at home.
Now, how long is this mentoring program? How long is it? How in-depth is that?
The program, it's 8 hours. It's 8 hour training. It used to be 12. It's 8 hour training. Okay. And then we'll talk about the training is part of how to be a mentor. What does it mean to me to be a mentor? For instance, like just because they come to church on Sunday, it's not mentoring. We want the person to be really involved in the personal life, you know, find out what their personal interests are. They like to play golf or they like to go fishing, you know. You want to, again, teaching them how to be a mentor, again, about to build a relationship with the individual, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes time, and I always share with people that mentors is calling. It's not for everyone, and that's why it's so vital to us to have mentor trainers so we can train people how to be mentors. And what the training does also, it'll say to a person, well, I went through the training, and I don't think this is what I want to do, you know, and I'd rather them to go through the training and, you know, and say, well, this is not something I want to do, I don't have time to do, rather than just to match them with an individual and find out down the road, this is not something I want to do. It was a good idea. My heart was big, but I'm just not there. You know. So sometimes what happens is if you don't train an individual, then you can do more harm than good.
Now, the mentoring program, it goes over for what period of time? What, you know, is it like a month training or just how long?
It's 8 hours training, but it's a year commitment. Once you say, well, once I match the person with the returning citizen, it becomes a year relationship. So it have a full year of commitment to each other. You know, quite naturally, if the mentee says, well, I no longer want to be in a violent relationship, they can, resolve it. You know, they can already dissolve it, you know, because it may be something where one person may get sick, another person found out, well, this is not something that I want to do, so it can be resolved. But we encourage them to at least give it a year.
Okay.
A year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, how has that grown over the, you know, you're into your sixth year. So what kinds of milestones have you seen with this particular process?
Oh, I see so much growth, especially with working with other churches as well. They look forward to being involved in men's lives when they come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so the transition and that yields a commitment. They have built relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They have joined churches. Families have been united, you know, through this mentoring effort,
mm-hmm.
Job creation. In other words, when a person go to work, That mentor, they encouraged, you know, him, hey, hang in there, you know, don't quit, you know. Even with the financial piece with young men, they learn how to about financial, because the mentor would say, listen, you just got paid. Let me show you how to budget your money and manage your money, you know, that you work for. And so it's been a great relationship over the years. And I encourage the mentor. That was my first thing I always wanted to do.
All right.
Is get people to become mentors.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when did you begin to open this up to women?
About a year ago. Okay. I opened to a year ago because now I have some females who come alongside and say, hey, you know, we went through the training and say, I want to be involved. I want to be a mentor to women that's come home as well.
Okay. Now, is there a difference in the type of training, or have you seen a difference as to, you know, how the process works?
Well, you know, it's a little bit different in the training when it comes to working with females because, again, they have different issues that they deal with. You know, most, you know, women that have may have children. When they got incarcerated, they may have lost their children in the system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So different, you know, a little bit different dealing with the men because of her being a female, they have different issues in life than a man would have. So
all right.
It's a little different there. Uh-huh.
All right. Now, do you get involved in the housing aspect of any of this?
No, I do what I do in the housing. I refer housing out.
Okay. All right. Okay. I say don't try to be jack of all trade. Just be master.
Exactly. That's what happens when you speak on the housing piece. A lot of times, some agencies, the danger is that, so I'm a one-stop shop. That sounds good to a funder. It may sound good. But you know, one entity have all the answers. I mean, it'd be nice, but it's not really true because it just don't happen. You know, you can't be good at everything you do.
All right, you know? All right, okay. Now, you were saying that you collaborate with other churches and other organizations. Could you name some of the other organizations and churches that you work with?
Yes, I'm working with Quickly on my own home church, Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, but mm-hmm. I have worked with, still working presently with Triumph Church in the city here.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked with Messiah Baptist Church for the Angel Tree program on 7 miles over there.
Right.
I work with Covenant Care Clinics, one of our partners.
Mm-hmm.
In the health care, we refer men over there who need health care.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been blessed over the last 2 years working with 4UAW, who at Christmas time blesses us with a box of turkey. We include meals where we can give out to the people in the community. And I thank God for the relationship with 4UAW. So those are...
You go into the prisons and you recruit people there, or do the prisons contact you? How do you?
They contact me. Through writing, many times. And one thing about being in the prison system, the word get around fast. You know, so once they find, you know, I'm swear they got this program called Hope, and they'll write me and say, okay, when I'm from my release, can I be part of your program, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And also working with the Department of Corrections, a lot of parole officers will call or recommend some of their clients to be coming out of program as well.
Okay.
Know?
Now, how large is your program?
Right now, we have approximately 22 men I'm working with through pen pal writing, because we have pen pal writing program for guys still incarcerated. So it's a part of our program while they're incarcerated. And there are others out. Some guys are out on parole, and they're part of our program as well. And guys who initially came out of program still with us today, and they'll come by and volunteer their time and also share their testimony how they've been was once incarcerated. And when they got involved with Hope, they made that transition back home, and they're doing very well now.
All right. Now, is there, it's kind of like you may have answered my question. I'm going to answer it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like this can be an ongoing process. So do you have a certain amount that you're working actively with, and then you have a support group, or how do you, keep the ball rolling, I guess?
Well, I have a great staff, for one. I keep the ball rolling. I have had a case manager come on board with me, and so he did a lot of intake through him as well. And working with church again, still extending the training, the mentor training, and training other churches how to be involved with prison ministry, so I can filter the guy. He's sitting down trying to write love and respond to love through my organization. I would get those pen pals writing efforts over to Triumph Prison Ministry. In turn, they would write the inmates for me. So, again, sharing responsibility, collaborating together, working to meet the needs of people.
All right. Now, you also mentioned that you have a bakery, a food
yes,
kitchen?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, is the bakery and the food kitchen all of one thing, or is it two separate entities?
Yeah, it's all one. The bakery is located at 6125 Beachwood in Tabernacle Old Church. We make the cookies, cakes, and pies. Again, this was designed to be a for-profit for our nonprofit, and also to train men and women in baking when
all
they
right.
come home, so we can have them a form of income. Okay, well, they can learn about how to be punctual on time, how to and also develop a skill of baking and get them something to put on their resume. You know, they say, well, I've been home X amount of days and I'm working at Hope Bakery here. I'm learning how to make cookies and cakes and pies and so forth. So they give them something to put on their resume, okay? Also give them a source of income, okay? We pay them while they're being trained as well. So that program is for a year. After a year, we encourage them to, okay, you've been working on time. We teach them work ethics and so forth like that. So we encourage them. At this time, after a year, now it's time for you to move on. By this time, they'll have a skill in baking, and they can go to a larger bakery with some skills, say, hey, I can become a baker's helper. And that's what we title the guys that come to the program. We call them baker's helpers.
Okay. All right. Do you work with any of the unemployment or the employment agencies?
I just started working with the Detroit Workforce just about maybe a month ago. I met with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to start working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to send me some jobs and guys that qualify for work again. In our job readiness program, we're going to try to get the guys ready for that, okay?
This is Amanita.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
All right, this is Bae Dames again, and we're talking with Reverend Sproul from Hope. And he was, as we took a break there, he was telling us about some of the things that he has coming up with the Hope organization. What are some of those things?
Okay, the first thing we have is August the 8th. We're having a community health fair at 6125 Beechwood in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing blood pressure checks and all kind of health screening as well, and passing information to help people receive the health that they need.
Mm-hmm.
On that day, August 8th, it's going to be a big day, community day. We'll just have help people with their health, you know, and introducing to some things they may need to help them, especially people that are looking for a new clinic, looking just to get some help treatment. One thing is about in our community, is high blood pressure, you know, is the number one killer. So
all right,
you want to get people in health screening that they need.
Okay, so that's August what now?
August the 8th.
Okay, what day of the week?
That'll be from 11 until 3.
Okay, what day of the week is that?
That's on a Saturday.
Okay, this is Betty Daniels, and we're back with Reverend Sproul talking about the HOPE program. And we're going to pick up. You were in the process of telling us about how you started the job readiness program.
Yes, the job readiness program, many men and women want to work, but they're not ready. And what I mean by that is that they don't have an interviewing skill, not a proper resume, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not a proper clothing. And as you know, first thing an employee wants to do is to do the drug testing.
Right.
And so what we do is we teach them about interviewing skills, give them a good resume, teach my resume, put a resume together for them, give them the proper attire to wear. And also, we're going to do drug testing, because when I refer a person to the Detroit Workforce, I want to make sure the individual is clean and they're ready for work. And that's what I mean by job readiness.
All right.
And there's a lot of jobs coming to the city, and some people in the city are just not ready right now. But we're going to get them ready. Our goal is to get everybody employed and working.
All right. Now, when do you just work with the prison ministry, or do you work with people who are homeless, or you know, those?
The job readiness program can be open to not just returners; it can be open to anyone that looks seeking employment that want to work,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be able to help them find employment.
Okay. Now, how many people? How successful has that been, or how many people have you been involved with that are outside of that that particular prison ministry category?
Okay, we just started our job readiness program last month. So right now we have approximately 10 people just waiting to get jobs. And meantime, what we're doing with them, we teach them interviewing skills. I got a resume together for them, and then we're gonna help them find employment. Making sure they they're not having a drug addiction problem, because
mm-hmm.
addiction, yes, you know, person cannot get a job, they can't hold a job.
Right.
And also that can overflow again to working with them, keep them encouraged in a job, because many times people get a job and they don't like it, and they'll quit before they find another job. So working with people, say, okay, you may not like this job, but hang in there, keep doing the job until you find something else. So it's about encouraging people to keep their job as well. And I'm going back to that financial piece again, how to budget your money, once you get paid.
All right. Now, is there a certain age group that seems to be involved in this program?
Or well, what? We're looking at, right now, most people are like between 20 and 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
young people. Many young people, their parents and grandparents, I'm sending them to me and say, hey, Ralph, can you help my grandson or granddaughter find employment? You know? And these are people that really want to work, And so when we see a pair of people that who are secret interested and really want to work, so we try to do what we can to get them employed. Now, I can't make me any promise, but we job to get you ready so you will find a job.
All right. Now, are they involved with a mentor as well, or is there someone?
Yes, they do. My case manager, once they do intake and they go through, once you get the resume together and teach them interviewing skills, then we'll match them again with someone that's going to walk with them to encourage them to keep a job.
All right. Now, how many mentors do you have on board right now?
Right now, I have approximately 12 people right now.
How many?
12.
Okay.
12 mentors.
All right.
Right now.
Okay. And has there been like a turnover of mentors or just what's going on?
Well, they go and come because some people do it for a year. And after a year, they feel like, well, Ray, I'm kind of burned out now. So we always constantly recruiting mentors, people to come mentors, And I stay on mentors so much, Sister Daniels, because that's my pet peeve in helping anyone make a change in their life. They need someone to walk alongside them.
All right. Would you be open to people who are in our listening audience to become mentors?
Oh, sure. Yes. Welcome them. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
How would they get in touch with you?
They can get in contact with me at 313-897-5503. I can reach you again. I'll talk fast sometime.
Okay.
313-897-5503.
Okay, and I also see that you have an email. Is this your email address? hope@tmbcdetroit.org. Okay.
hope@tmbcdetroit.org.
Okay, we're going to read. You're also on Twitter at HopeOp. Okay, I see
that
as well. All right. We're going to repeat that again later on so our listener audience will be able to, get that same kind of information.
Okay.
At different qualifications or different kind of things that people will bring to if you're mentoring someone who's, not working as opposed to working with someone who's an inmate. Is there a difference?
Well, not really because, mentoring is really just encouraging people,
Mm-hmm.
Again, having the right word to match the individual with, but it's about encouraging people, taking the time to work with the individual where they're at, not
mm-hmm.
being judgmental, but meeting people where they're at and working with them, helping to achieve their goal. Mentoring simply is working with individual, trying to encourage, him or her to achieve their short-term goals and long-term goals. That's one thing we do with mentoring. First thing we do is sit down at the individual, what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to achieve it?
Mm-hmm.
And our job as mentors is to sit down and look at the short-term goal, long-term goal. It's our job to walk with the individual, not walk ahead, not tell them what to do or what they should be. Whatever the individual wants to become in life or what they're trying to achieve, it's our job as mentors to walk alongside them, to help them, to encourage them to reach their goals.
All right. Now, you talked about there's a for-profit part of HOPE, and then there's also the nonprofit. Now, how many total people are for in both groups in total?
Well, on the for-profit, it's four people that run the kitchen now. I have a baking manager and three others work in the kitchen now, right now, presently.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the baking and the wrapping and so forth like that. So they work on the for-profit for HOPE nonprofit side of things. So the money that goes back into the business, but at the same time, we're for-profit because I'm paying people to work the business. And that money goes back into the nonprofit side.
All right. And then the nonprofit side, how many people there?
On the nonprofit side, I have a board that consists of about 11 people. I have 11 people on board, and I have a staff of 5 people. Matter of fact, most of my staff are all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like 3 paid positions, so it's not. Most of our money goes back. I said 95% of our money goes back into our business.
And what is the hours of your operation?
We open Monday through Thursday. We open from 9 until 3,
mm-hmm.
Monday through Thursday. And then we close on Friday and the weekends.
All right. Now, Are you now? You just started the job readiness program. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you had planned, or that's something that's something that you saw a need for, and then you just become involved?
I saw a great need for it because again, with the Red Wings stadium coming, the bridge being built, there is jobs coming to the city. You know, Detroit will be known as the comeback city,
mm-hmm.
and so we want our people and residents in Detroit to have opportunities for some of these jobs that's coming. And so I thought, well, there is a need for in our community to get people ready for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have many times people, they're just not ready to work. And I didn't want to stand by and see these jobs come to the city, opportunity presents itself, and the people in the city of Detroit now have opportunity to apply for these jobs and get these jobs.
Are you beginning to reach out to some of these businesses and stuff so you can get specific training for these particular jobs?
Yes, I'm working with the UAW, for UAW, with the Skilled Trades Program with
mm-hmm.
Vice President Jimmy Settles. And we people don't go into Skilled Trades, I'm trying to tap into them to work with them so they can get, once we get people ready, again, they're taking a Skilled Trade test because then the hurdle becomes the math part. And so a lot of people can't even do 10th, 11th grade math. And so I'm talking with the Skilled Trades people. Okay, you at least got to be 10th, maybe to the 10th, 11th grade math. And so when we bring up individual in, look at his math skills or her math skills, want to help with those skills so they can pass the test, so they can become a journeyman, and get into the skilled trades program.
All right. Where do you see do you see that as something that you're going to be working on for a little while, or do you have another goal in mind?
Well, this one working for a little while, and other goal I have in mind for this year, the 221st. There are challenges with people that are going through the same thing, and to encourage them how this person got through what they were going through. So it's a way of encouraging people and helping people to cope with some of everyday life issues that they don't normally talk about.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you've 6 years, and you've got your goals, getting the job readiness and then the recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see yourself, say, 3 years from now?
3 years from now, we'll be located on 6125 Beach. When I look at some of these burnt-down homes and some of this vacant lots, I'm looking at working with the Detroit Land Bank, hopefully, to buy this property in this area,
mm-hmm.
tear down the houses, and hopefully build some senior citizens' homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking long-term because this area, a lot of homes got there with the deteriorating of the homes and so forth. So just buy the home in this area here. And just tear them down and build some senior citizen complex so people can come and rebuild a community. You know, I see the community coming back as well. It's going to take time,
mm-hmm.
but I see that down the road, yes.
Okay, all right. If you had to look back on what do you think were the three turning points for the HOPE program?
One of the biggest turning point was that it was just trusting God for it. Just trusting God, like, God, is this what you want me to do? This is really what we need to do, and so I trust God that He will make a way for HOPE to survive financially and to sustain itself and to get through the hard time. God has provided.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. My second thing was to be able to, again, build relationships with people in the community, first of all, and then build a relationship with other agencies so I can refer people to the service they may need that I cannot provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important to me. And third thing was to have an impact on people in this community because there are many Black clubs community. They're older people now, okay, so they can't do what they used to do. So I want to walk alongside them, take some ideas they give me and try to meet some of the things they want to see in the community as well.
Okay. All right. Earlier on, we did give you a telephone number, so why don't we try and give that again? The telephone
okay.
number.
My telephone number is 313-897-5503.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can also reach you online. How?
You reach me at hope@tmbcdetroitspelledout.org.
Okay. All right. Now, should a person... let's say they call and say they're really not sure what they want to do, but they want to help you out. Is you still open to all that kind of stuff?
Oh, sure. Yes, sure. I say our goal is to call us, tell us what you want to do. We'll sit down and talk. And if we can meet the need, we We will, if we can't, I'll refer to someone that can.
Okay. And you're also open to volunteers?
Oh, definitely, yes. I always need volunteers.
Any particular goal that you have in mind where the certain types of people with certain kinds of skills are you really, really looking for at this particular time?
Well, for people, for volunteers, you mean?
Or about, hey, anybody, what you're looking for? What do you need?
I'm looking for people now to help me work that. We have a computer lab as well. So I'm looking for some people with some, you know, technical skills can come in, help us with our computer lab. We want to have ongoing computer classes as well, because where we're located at, there's no library in close by. So I want this to be a resource center so people in the community, they search for a job, they just don't come and get online. So I need volunteers can be in the lab that when I open the lab so people in the community can come and get on the computer and do job search or just use the computer lab, you know.
Okay.
A lot of people don't have access to the internet.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And any other types of services and skills you're looking for?
Well, I look for people also to help my website.
Okay.
We have a website that we continue to try to keep updated. I need people with those kind of skills as well that wanted to come in and help us with our website.
Okay.
Those are definitely critical areas I need right now.
All right.
Those two areas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, then. Well, again, I want to thank you very much for, giving up your time to to be on the program. And again, this is, do they call you Reverend Sproul?
Yes, Reverend Sproul.
All right. Okay. So we have Reverend Samuel Sproul, and he is the president of the organization called HOPE. That's the acronym for Helping Organizations for People Empowerment. All right. And I want to thank you again for being a part of the Impact Program, and I'll hope to hear from you again soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up, kids who could go on to college, but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living United, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
You can be a reader, tutor, or mentor too. Take the pledge at liveunited.org/volunteer. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, this is Betty Daniels from Impact, and we have Don Morelli on the line with us, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and tell you about the name of his program. Don, go ahead.
Okay, Betty, thank you. This is Dominic Morelli with Life Remodeled, and we're on the website at www.liferemodeled.com.
All right, now tell us, what is Life Remodeled?
Well, Life Remodeled is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that started back in 2010, and with the original, vision from Chris Lambert, who is our CEO, was to build a home and give it away to a family in need in a week's time, sort of taking off of the extreme home makeover home edition. This is our fifth year.
All right.
We started in 2011, and it's grown exponentially over the last 4 years.
Okay.
In fact, in 2013, people asked us, when are we going to go to Detroit? So we worked on the north end.
Mm-hmm.
Built the first house, a two-story house on Philadelphia Street.
All right.
And on that particular project, we worked with Lisa Johannan from CDC.
All right.
And we did 100 blocks surrounding the house with beautification.
Okay. All right.
And we remodeled 28 homes. And then Chris, God put it on his heart to do more than just a house with a family.
All right.
To work on a school. So last year, you probably heard in the media, on the radio and television, Cody High School. So we Cody. We did quite a bit of work there. Did you hear it, Betty, at Cody?
I've heard some about it, but I did not know. You know, I was thinking Habitat for Humanity. Excuse me if I'm, you know, whatever. But I'm so glad.
Habitat's a great group, and they're and we're actually talking about partnering this year with them at Osborne.
Oh, well, okay. Now, how did you come to be? How did your group start?
Great question. I think Chris came here. He came here from Indiana and then California. Met his wife in California, and I think her family's from this area, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But he just felt that God was putting on his heart to start a ministry or start. So he started a church, and then he thought, well, how do you minister to people other than a church? And the goal really is to be where they are and to be in the community.
I'm loving it.
And Life Remodeled, sort of God put that on his heart. And from there, it expanded because his church was called Ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
And now his church is actually being run by someone else. So he's 100% with Life Remodeled. And Life Remodeled is a non-religious organization. And saying that, mm-hmm. what we do is Chris will tell you, and I will too, is we follow Jesus and do the things Jesus did.
Okay.
And by saying that, everyone's welcome.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, so everyone's welcome to be a part of the work effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn by loving each other where we are.
Okay.
And that's what we do. We work with government agencies. We work with corporations. We work with schools, churches. And we basically are the hands and feet of Christ. That's what I tell people. That's what I try to do. Love them where they are.
You know, I'm really, really elated to hear about that. I guess you heard me when I went, because, you know, it's, and not to, take away from people and people who are giving and helping people, but there's this saying, I can't remember, the origin of it, but is, give a person a fish sandwich, he eats for a day. You teach him how to fish, he eats for a lot. He learns to live, has
its right.
And that's, that's kind of what I thought when you were telling me about your program. Now, you told me how the idea came about and how he kind of, what were some of the things, that those growing pains and getting this off the ground and getting it to actually, doing what you're doing?
Well, it's casting vision, Betty. We believe that everybody wants things to happen for the better.
Okay.
When everyone sees things that are depressed housing or depressed areas, everybody wants it to be better.
Right.
So the thing we cast the vision is of what Life Remodeled wanted to do. So we cast the vision, for example, in Cody, of talking to the principals and talking to the students and finding out, what would you like in your school? What would you like different? If you had one choice to pick something, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
And we found out they hadn't had a football field in 8 years. Every home game was played away.
Okay.
And they wanted something sports, not only for the school, but for the community to rally around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talked about a STEM room and a STEM lab, and they talked about a home ec room. And they gave us a list, a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than going out and just asking people for money, you can do that, but then you just put the value in the money. We just cast a vision of what the school wanted, what the kids wanted, what the neighborhood wanted,
mm-hmm.
and ask who would want to be a part of that and join the adventure with us.
Okay. Okay.
And many people said, yes, we'd love to do that. And then the next thing we said is, well, here's the list of what the needs are, because not everybody has money.
Right.
Many people have resources like equipment or materials or labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has money. So we said, well, whatever you've been blessed with, please bring.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, that started happening.
And
people, it was very infectious. People could see that happening, and they wanted to be a part of it. And they just came to the job, and they wanted to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw life transformation, not only in the people we were serving, but the people we were serving with. And this is not the folks from the suburbs coming in to save the people in the city. It has nothing to do with that. What it is it's partnering. It's the groups in the city partnering with groups in the suburbs and being one.
Right.
So we're going to do this as one. And what we found out through that, Betty, was relationships began developing. And you know how it is when you feel good about meeting a friend or a relative, right?
Yes.
You want to go back and be with them again.
Right.
And what we saw in Life Remodeled was the more people worked in the city and the developed relationships with different groups in the city around Cody and now around Osborne, they want to come back. They want to be a part of that.
Okay. I'm hearing, as I work with the different nonprofits, I'm hearing that same, but I can't use the word, those same type of energy you know, and that same type of outpouring occurring, you know, you hear that same theme, you know, or over and over that, you know, it might be hard getting past that first inertia, but once you get it started.
Right.
Okay. Now,
it started to grow.
Yes. What were some of the first people that got this off the ground? You mentioned, you know, you began to talk about who they were. And,
right.
And
well, in reference to some of the nonprofits, you know, we were some of the local churches. Oak Point Church has been a big supporter of this.
Okay.
DC was a supporter of this. Heritage Church, Kensington, just a variety of the different churches. Ward Church.
Okay.
We were just very blessed with great relationship from the church. And then we also teamed with churches in the inner city, like Bishop Tony Russell from Man Network. He's awesome. In reference to the companies, General Motors got involved and has been a leader. Chrysler has, as well as Quicken Loans.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the general contracting companies, Cunningham Limp,
mm-hmm.
Barton Mallow, the Taubman Company. So we've had quite a few groups from the corporate level, the nonprofit level, a variety of different just single-family groups, as well as some neighborhood groups. Like we worked with the Cody Neighborhood Alliance with Kenyatta Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And we also now are working with the Osborne Neighborhood Alliance with Quincy Jones and the Osborne Business Alliance.
Okay.
So there's there's great synergies there when you have different groups coming together, bringing different talent, ability, and resources to work together.
Now, how do you go about, right, is it word of mouth how people get in touch with you, or just how do people get in touch with you to get, or do you have a certain person who does, like, out, you know, just goes out and starts trying to locate these, you know, who you want to start to work with?
Right. Well, word of mouth is always the best, but also a lot of the media has helped promote this. Mm-hmm. Chuck Gatica,
mm-hmm.
when he retired from WDIV, he joined us last year, was a tremendous influence in showing a variety of different organizations and people what the need was in Cody. So Chuck, a lot of support from him, and WOMC did some work, different radio stations picking up. You're picking it up now, which is awesome. We're very excited to be partnering with you just to cast the vision.
Okay.
And you're right in the area of Cody. I mean, you're very close to the Cody work. So
okay.
That's awesome. And that's continuing. The other thing we talked about is sustainability, is how to sustain this. And like Oak Point Church and is working in the Cody area, as well as some of the other partners that have stayed there, because once those relationships developed, they want to continue being in the area, in the community, building into the kids, into the next generation of students, and letting them know that people care about them and that they're valuable.
All right, now I hear you talking quite a bit about schools and stuff. Are there other, have there been homes that you built, or just what?
Oh, that's a great comment, Betty. Yes, we not only touch the school, but we renovate from 20 to 30 homes surrounding the school.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on students, families that are in need around the school.
Mm-hmm.
We also do blight removal. So we'll have this year over 12,000 volunteers in Osborne. Last year we had over 12,000 in the Cody area.
Oh, my goodness.
And that we'll focus on blight removal. We'll focus on repairing homes that are in need of a porch or a kitchen or bathroom or a roof or a furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And then safe routes for the students to get to school. We have marked safe routes on the sidewalks.
All right.
So that kids can get there. Because we know right now we've had difficulty with them getting to school with dark. It's dark in the morning. There's not a lot of light. So
right.
We're trying to promote a great opportunity for the kids to have safe and inspirational pathways.
Right. Now, how did you come to become working with Reverend Sproul and the Hope Project?
Well, we met through one of our partners, and Reverend Sproul is just an awesome leader, and we just love what he's doing in Detroit. So what we've realized is with partners like Hope, we get resources that we use at Life Remodeled, and then we find out that they're a partner and we have extra resources and we share them, and they do the same. And
okay.
It's a partnership where we don't talk about ownership. What we talk about is how can we work together to make the area, the community better? How can we remodel lives and strengthen community. And that's what we've been able to do together.
All right. Now, is there a specific project that you have completed with Hope, or is it something that you're looking forward to doing in the future?
Well, ongoing. The last several years, Hope and their team has been coming to the life remodel projects.
Mm-hmm.
The one we did at Cody, before that, the one we did on Philadelphia Street.
Oh, I remember him bringing. I remember him.
Find out what the needs that Hope has.
Okay.
And what they need, and then we cast that vision for some of our partners to assist with them. And,
all right.
So we've been able to help them. First of all, buy from their bakery. The easiest thing to do is they have a wonderful bakery,
right,
with returning citizens that come in and make phenomenal baked goods. So
yes,
we cast the vision that we buy baked goods from them that we use at our some of our fundraisers and some of our events, and then we tell our partners to buy from them to support them.
I see. Now, are you a nonprofit, or just what type of organization are you?
We are a nonprofit, a 501c3.
Okay.
And we are a non-religious nonprofit.
Okay.
That anyone can be a part of, and easy to find us. You know, go on liferemodel.com.
Okay.
And they can sign up. They can cast the vision. They can see videos of what we're about.
Okay.
And see some of the past work.
All right. Is there a certain type of orientation?
So they can basically list what they want to do. For
all
example,
right,
if they're a skilled trade, they can sign up under skilled trade. If they say, well, I don't really have a trade, but I can help in the food preparation area, I can help in the greeting area.
Okay.
There's a lot of different areas that they can help in. Everyone's welcome. You know, people say to me, well, I don't know how to build anything, I can't come. Well, we need more than builders. We need a lot of people when you do a project of this size.
All right, all right. Then a lot of your materials, are they donated, or do you how does that come about?
Right. Well, that's a great question too, buddy. When people give, they give whatever they have. So sometimes they give in materials.
Right.
Sometimes they give in equipment or in people. Or in money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use the in-kind donations first.
Okay.
And then wherever we're lacking, we take the funding that was given to us and sort of fill in the gaps with materials that are needed.
All right. Now, is there a core group that you meet and try to determine what project you're going to work on, or what are your next goals or stuff like that?
Right. Well, we meet the task force. There's a task force of over 60 leaders that meet every month.
All right.
And we meet at Osborne right now. We keep on task of what we need for the project. So
all
we
right.
have a 6-day beautification that'll start on August 3rd.
Okay.
That's when the project kicks off, Monday, August 3rd.
All right.
And we basically go from sunup till sundown. It's 9 to 5 is the hours for people to sign up, but there'll be somebody there 24/7.
Okay.
But they can sign up for that. And they can work from 4-hour shift, Betty, to a full day shift. What we find out is people stay longer, and they can stay longer.
All right.
Or they can sign up for the whole week. Some people just take the week vacation, and they take and they come down every day, and they're working. Now, on Sunday, we want you to be there because we have a celebration Sunday. So we work Monday through Saturday, and
all
celebration
right.
Sunday, we're going to actually have a parade in the Osborne neighborhood.
Okay.
And you could join us with that, too. We'd love
great minds, as they say, because I'm writing the date down, and so I can say, okay, now I've got something to do for my, August, July, my July program, okay? Okay.
We'd love that.
Yes. So, and then Project Hope's got something on the 8th, so you know, two of you are like dovetailing together, so I can have the both of you.
We are. And then the other thing I love is that you're right there, Henry Ford
okay.
University, and that's awesome because those are the leaders of the future.
We're
pioneering at the high school and also at Pulaski Middle School, so we're trying to put seeds into those young minds to eventually get to universities like Henry Ford.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. So do you do presentations and things like that at the schools?
We do, sure. Absolutely. One of the things we try to do, Betty, is we have an internship program that's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
We have two young men that are working with us in the Cody area.
Okay.
Actually rebuilding two houses that we've been given from the land bank.
All right.
And then those houses go into the Cody Neighborhood Alliance, and that will be sold back to these two young men who would have the opportunity to buy the homes they're working on.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, that is...
And now they're being trained. And what we've just found out this past week is one of our general contractors told us that they would hire both of these men once they're completed with the house.
Oh, let's see. You know what? I'm breaking out goosebumps all over the place. And, you know, and the other... you know, you're talking about your aspect of it, and then I finished talking to Reverend Sproul, and how there's no, this is my territory, this is my, you know, there's this interactive type of thing, and that's what it's so, that's another part of that I'm really enjoying hearing about what, and what you're doing. You talked about what were some of the major turning points, or some of the, I guess it couldn't be no one major point, since with the kind of things that you're doing, everything, every time you finish a project, that's a milestone. But what are some of the things that have, in your working with them, that have kind of stick out in your mind?
Well, some of the major points that I see is when some of these young adults that are going to school see people that really care about them, they seem uplifted, their heart is lifted. And they realize that there's tremendous hope for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's nothing more important than to build that into our next generation.
Right.
They really are the jewels. You know, we fix the schools for them. We fix the houses for them. The house really doesn't mean a lot to us, but it does to them, and that's why we do it.
All right.
So we want to build to let them know that really people care about them.
And okay.
People care about continuing with the blessings that we've had
all right.
through life, and not to leave this world in a worse place than we've got into it.
Okay. What now? You began to give me an overview of some of the things that you're looking forward to doing in the future. Could you repeat some of that and kind of like, you know, tell me a little bit more about those things?
Sure. Right now, we're working on an Osborne, and we're working on a cafeteria. We're working in a library, and really the things that we could use some help with the roof.
They
have a roof that's been leaking for a while. We've got two contractors that have taken two areas of the roof, and they're going to re-roof those, giving us a great, great price, really at just way below cost on
mm-hmm.
their labor. But anyone that could offer some roofing materials or some equipment, a crane to lift some of the materials up, we need some help with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an area we'd like to get some partners in.
Okay.
And then, you know, through the cafeteria, you know, tables and chairs, that would be very helpful if we could get that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the library, desks and tables that students would be able to sit in and to use, you know, more updated furniture.
Okay.
So that the goal is, and then if they actually go online, you can see a whole list of items that we're still in need of.
All right.
Happy to do that if anybody wants to go on the website.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that...
we would never expected this. In fact, if God would have told me 5 years ago this is what it would look like, I think I'd be running to California because it's so crazy. But we've really been blessed because it's growing, not because we want it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing because we're giving it away.
Okay.
And we really believe that... The partnerships in the community realize that we don't have any, there's no agenda on our end. You know,
okay.
We're not in it to make profit. We're in it to be partners and to breathe into this next generation.
Okay.
To support them and to let them know that they are valuable and that we want them to know that people care about them.
Okay.
And that's really the goal. So as it grows, really the sky's the limit. I really foresee, we see a lot of people come in this year, and this hasn't happened before, from other states. There's a group from Maine bringing 50 people here to help.
Okay.
There's a group from Australia coming that is committing to the area for youth support for 2 years.
We're
amazed at how many people God's bringing from around different areas of the world, and I don't think it's going to stop.
All right. Now, you compared yourself to the Extreme Makeover as opposed to Humanities. Why do you see yourself more of the Extreme Makeover as opposed to the Humanities Project?
Well, you know,
Habitat for Humanity,
Chris Lambert's vision that he cast, it was about building a house in a week, and
okay.
that's how it started, about Extreme Homemaker Home Edition.
All right.
After the second year, it really stopped after that.
Okay.
And then it went into We still do most of the work in a week, the beautification work.
Right.
But the work in a school takes longer than a week. It's a lot of planning, and you're basically working through the year and through the summer while the kids aren't in school.
All right.
So it's changed a little bit. Now, Habitat for Humanity, we probably would be closer to what they're doing right now because of we're not really a handout. Their version is not a handout, but a hand up.
Yes.
And that's really what we do. We don't really give all this away. We team with partners in the city. We team with homeowners, and we work together with them on the projects.
All right.
And they're a phenomenal group, and we're honored to, you know, try to work with them this year.
Okay. Now, and that's, and as you mentioned earlier, that you're looking to try and partnership with them. How do you see that partnership playing out?
Well, we've met with them several times.
All right.
And we've been brainstorming on how we can work in similar areas.
All right.
So that we can take the
impact a larger area
given to us and expand on them, and they can take the opportunities and expand it, so we can just make more of a powerful explosion.
Yes.
Stronger together, right, Betty?
Yes. And then, all right. And then, you know, then join in other types of groups and plant the seed, because I can see you doing a lot of planting the seed when it comes to the Hope Project, because they're. It's almost like, you know, you join one vision to another vision, and then it just, they say, hey, the sky's the limit.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, do you have any type of major fundraisers or event kinds of things where you gather resources and, you know, that type of thing?
We do. We actually have one or two a year. We just had our last one before the Osborne build. It was a couple weeks ago over at the American Serbian Hall on Van Dyke, just south of 8 Mile. It went really well. In fact, Mayor Duggan was there.
Okay.
Councilman Benson was there. In fact, he spoke. And Alice Thompson from the CEO of Black Family Development was there. It
mm-hmm.
went so well.
Okay.
And great supporters. In fact, Alice Thompson is also on our board of directors for Life Remodeled, and she's a tremendous asset to
all
the
right.
organization
okay.
and to the city. The work she's done has been phenomenal.
All right. Do you charter certain cities or certain locations, or how do you do it?
What we have done is work closely with the DPS, Detroit Public Schools,
okay.
and ask them where's their short-term and long-term goals
all right.
for each areas, and they've given us the schools that they're pouring into, and we have teamed with them in those areas.
Okay. Now, are you still doing?
By Skillman Foundation, they've
okay.
been a great supporter, and United Way is really poured into both Osborne and Cody, and we wanted to go alongside some of the other partners that have done great work.
All right.
And try to continue that.
All right. Now, are you still doing things out in Westland and Livonia in those areas, or? Have you?
No, right now it's just Detroit. Our focus is only in Detroit.
Okay. And if someone contacted you, say, well, you know, we know of an area that stuff that would you like, you know, take the information and then look at it, or just how?
No, what we probably do if it's another area outside of Detroit. We've teamed with so many other partners that service other parts of the community. We'd probably turn it over to one of our other partners.
They
bring us stuff
okay.
in Detroit. We bring
okay.
them things in the suburbs.
Okay. All right. But it's still, hey, so therefore you are a resource group as well as a project.
Yeah, we'd like to call us maybe a conduit. Right?
Okay.
We're all conduits, everybody, and we work together to try to support each other's areas.
All right. Okay. Now, all right. So now what we know that I'm going to be hearing again from you to remind me around the August the 8th time.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
Great. That'd be awesome.
All right.
I'll definitely call you in July. I want to make sure you're there.
Yes. Yes. You must do that. Okay. So this is Dominic Morelli. Okay.
Yes, Morelli. I'm vice president of Life Remodel. I've been with them ever since the beginning. And I do this also as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
80% of my week is donated to Life Remodeled. And I really enjoy. And I'm not paid staff. It's a volunteer. And I can just tell anyone out there that's looking to do something, there's no better thing to do with your life than pour it into the next generation.
All right. And again, to reach you, how would they go about reaching you again?
The best way is liferemodeled.com for our website, or they can email us at info, I-N-F-O, at Life Remodeled.
Okay, and that's Remodeled. R-E-M-O-L, excuse me, R-E-M-O-D-E-L-E-D, Life Remodeled.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Life Remodeled with an E-D at the end.
Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you very, very much. And like I said, I really enjoy the talking to both of you. And I want my know my people who we listen next Tuesday will have a very beneficial show. And thank you again.
Well, thank you, buddy. God bless you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Looking for some good news? Tune into Impact the second, fourth, and fifth Tuesdays of the month at 1 p.m. Impact is about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. You can hear that good news from Lynn and Betty, and who knows, you might be inspired to make an impact yourself. That's Impact every second, fourth, and fifth Tuesday at 1 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station making waves.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Hey, you guys and dolls out there, I'm Daddy G on WHFR.FM, making waves. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s. So I invite all you guys and dolls out there to hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the malt shop. Join me here. Here we are, back in the 50s.
The shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe. So there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackey's back in town. Now did you hear about Louis Miller? He disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie, he spins just like a